Well, beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, there may be, at least I was thinking of this in preparation for today, there may be mixed feelings about the sermon, the topic for this afternoon. Mixed feelings because, well, it's about home life and how we can all struggle at times in home life. So, for example, some of you parents may be hoping or looking forward to a message like this because you want a sermon that you think will maybe hammer some sense into your kids. And maybe some of the kids are a little bit worried. Will this sermon pick on them, pick on you? Or else if you're older, if we're older, and in some cases as adults, things are not so good with our parents, and that can happen too. Maybe you're afraid of having to face various applications that might come in a message like this. You'd rather not hear about honoring your father and your mother. So there can be mixed feelings. Home life, family life, let's be honest, is not always so easy. And yet at the same time, let's not only be negative, let's also acknowledge with thanksgiving that many times home life can be a real blessing. Yes, and how many also here can tell about that? While there may be times of tension and struggle, certainly, and to be sure, not everything goes perfectly well all the time, nor should we expect it to. And yet overall, there are still so many, many blessings. And when that's so, then one thing we can be very sure of, somehow more or less, the fifth commandment is being acknowledged and respected. And parents are being honored. And so let me make something clear from the outset. This sermon will seek to encourage parents and families. And will seek to reinforce the pressing relevance of the fifth commandment. And children and young people, at the same time, this sermon will not pick on you. There may be conviction. In fact, I pray for that. But not just for you, for all of us. We all need to be humbled by this word, by this commandment. Young or old, we all need to see our failures and to be brought to the foot of the cross. You know, when this commandment was first given, it was given not to kids, at least not first and foremost. It was given to the covenant community, of which adults were a vast number. And the first word of this commandment is also not obey, but honor. And when we think about those two things, then hopefully we can all become very tender and very open to what the Lord has to say to us. Surely by way of this word, He is teaching us to. Well, our text is, as you know, as I read earlier, from Proverbs 23. And two verses in that chapter. Here we have words of wisdom as given to us by God Himself. Verse 22, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. That's the first text. And then very similarly, 25, let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. Both words are really a further unfolding of the fifth commandment. We are to honor our fathers and our mothers. That's what God says. He commands us to honor our parents. And that includes then also what's brought out here, listening to them. Listening. And not despising them. And not during childhood and youth, and not later in life either. No, let us listen to our father and mother and respect them all our life long and live in a way that makes them truly glad. Not that we must always do whatever they say. Certainly when we get older, that changes, of course. But hopefully in the way of the Lord, in terms of a life of godliness, if that has been taught to us by our parents, then also seeking to live that out, believing in Christ and following Him and seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit, belonging to the church, aiming in everything to glorify the Lord. Well, are those not the most important things of all? And will not every good and godly father and mother want that for their children most of all? And so let us listen and let us respect and let us keep and do all that our parents say. Yes, let us truly honor them and make them happy, make them glad, make them rejoice. Let's think about this some more with the help of the Lord. God commands us to honor our parents. First of all, how important this is. How important. Now, we know it's important for several reasons. For one, just think of how this commandment, this is the fifth commandment, but at the same time, it is the first commandment of the second table. So we often talk about the laws being divided into two tables, or we might say two categories. The first four commandments, you know, have to do with honoring the Lord, how we love the Lord our God. We've studied that. But now we transition to how we love our neighbor. Now, just as an aside, we shouldn't overemphasize the point. I mean, when we truly love our neighbor, that's an expression of loving our God. And also vice versa. When we love our God, then we will love our neighbor. They're very much connected. And yet, having said that, there is a difference. The first four commandments focus on the Lord, His uniqueness, His glory, His holiness, His name and His day. And with the fifth commandment, we turn very specifically to our neighbor. And how now shall we love our neighbor? And the fifth commandment then is the start to that. And so the fact that we're to honor our father and our mother, that's the first of these commandments to do with our neighbor. Well, that makes this commandment then very important. Let me say it like this. How we treat our parents is the first and foremost marker of whether or not we love our neighbor. How we treat our parents is the first and foremost marker of how we love our neighbor. So it is possible that we can be known as kind and generous and sacrificial and well-respected in our community. Everyone can say about us, my, you're really something. But if we don't honor our parents, if we don't respect and treat them with love and care, something fundamental is very wrong. Because in a real sense, the real you, and me too, is what we're like with our parents. And in a certain way, parents, what we're like with our kids. The Lord starts with this commandment when He starts with our life of love for our neighbor. How are you living at home? How are you living when the doors close behind you as a family in your home? So that makes this commandment important. It's the first of the commandments to do with our neighbor. Another reason this commandment is important is that to it, the Lord attaches a very special and particular promise. And remember how that goes. Honor your father and your mother. That's how the commandment's worded. And by the way, both parents are mentioned. Also in our text in Proverbs, father and mother. Both are mentioned. But back to the commandment, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. That's how you find it in Exodus 20. And when Paul refers to this commandment in Ephesians 6, remember how he says in Ephesians 6 verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. By the way, notice that this is right. It is right and righteous to obey your parents. But then Paul quotes the commandment, honor your father and your mother, which Paul says is the first commandment with promise. Now we should notice that, with promise. And then Paul quotes the promise. In fact, he updates it so that it no longer specifies or is specific to Israel in the land, but to all God's people in all the world. Paul says, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. It's the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long. And so by way of this promise, is not the Lord teaching us that this commandment is so important? Yes, the others too, but this one has a certain prominence to it. We're to pay attention to this one. We're to see that this matters. And we're to give ourselves to keeping it. And to help us, the Lord says, here's a promise. Understand that obedience is so worth it. Now, just on that promise for a moment, we have to understand it rightly. It's not a personal or individual personal guarantee that everyone who honors father and mother obeys father and mother. Paul's not saying, or God's not saying, listen, you'll never die young, guaranteed. Or everything will go well with you all your life. No problems, no trials. No, that cannot be the point. God is still sovereign over every human life. And in His perfect wisdom, He may do this or that. He may bring hard things in our life still. Maybe we don't live long, or maybe we do suffer. That happens, as we know. Maybe it's happening in your life. And you may think to yourself, is it because I didn't obey my parents? Or else you think, but I did obey, so why is this happening? And again, we have to remember that overall, God is sovereign, and this promise is not the only word to direct our life. It is a general promise, applying in a general way, as a general truth. And so keeping that in mind, at the same time, we can be encouraged by it. And remember, as a general rule, the Lord is saying, when you obey him, also on this point, you can expect blessing. You can look for blessing. Of course, who keeps this commandment as he ought? Just one sin is enough for us to forfeit the promise. Let's not forget that either and not be too demanding. And yet at the same time be encouraged. And above all, look to the ultimate fulfillment of this promise. Because if we do strive to keep this commandment, above all trusting in Jesus and wanting to show our thankfulness to him, let's realize that what's ahead is everlasting life in the new heavens and new earth. Long life in the world. So, no matter what happens here, for all who trust the Lord and walk in his way, this promise will be fulfilled someday in all fullness. Well, let's consider one more reason for honoring parents and why it's so important. We've talked about how it's the first commandment of the second table. We've talked about how it has a promise attached to it. Think also of this. Think of how living well in life includes learning to submit to authority. Living well in life includes learning to submit to authority. Paul writes in Romans 13 about how every soul should be subject to the governing authorities. And there are so many authorities in our life. We can talk about teachers and bosses and managers and elders. And yes, political leaders and rulers. And Paul makes clear that they are in charge on account of the hand of God. Now, parents too, by the way. God's behind it all. God ordains, God appoints, God installs. And they are God's ministers. And that is why we are called to submit. In that sense, the fifth commandment is about far more than our parents. It goes far beyond our homes. There are different authorities in our life, and we are called to submit to them. Now, we may not always like to. We may struggle to. But we are called by God to submit. If the teacher says, don't talk. If the boss says, work till 5. If an elder calls and asks to visit. If the government says, 50 kilometers an hour is the new speed limit on King Street. With all these scenarios and more, we know what we must do. But the big question is this, how do we learn to submit? How do we learn to be subject? How do we learn in the classroom to be quiet, or in the workplace to put in our time, or when the elder calls to receive him? How do we learn to be subject to governing authority, especially when the authority hardly knows us? I mean, think of the government. They don't know us, and yet we're to submit. It can be hard to submit. It goes against nature to submit. How do we do it? How do we learn to reflect the right spirit? Well, in God's wise ordering of all things, he means for us to learn this lesson first at home. He means for us to learn the principle of submission at home under our parents. We get to learn these things, in other words, where ideally we have a father and a mother, and no, they aren't perfect, but they love us, and they do their best, and they seek to go by the word of God, and the ethos and the atmosphere, the environment is one of warmth and love. And there, we are trained, ideally, to obey. And we all understand this. We do. We've all heard or seen illustrations of it the other way. I mean, children or young people who've not had good training, not had loving training. Maybe they had no parents, or maybe their parents were bad. Or maybe the kids were so hardened and rebellious they couldn't be taught. Sometimes that happens too. Deuteronomy 21 talks about the rebellious son, could be a rebellious daughter. But the point is, if in childhood, in the home, this isn't learned, how many times total disaster follows? Kids who cannot submit to parents won't likely submit to anyone else. Most of all, won't submit to God himself. And how miserable they will make life for others and for themselves And if they never change, they will perish. We all know that a real crisis is going on in our society, a crisis of authority. There is so little obedience at home, sadly, for so many. And it is trickling through every level of society. And it is in part also a judgment of God. Romans 1 makes that clear. It's part of a judgment of God. When His judgment descends on a society, then one of the marks of that is that children will be disobedient to parents. We should see what is happening around us and cry out to God for mercy. And remember that the fifth commandment is exceedingly important. Learning to honor our parents is so important. And the younger we learn that, the better. Children and young people, seek to learn it early. But even as we think about these things, who can listen to them and not be convicted? And here we go to our second point this afternoon, how much we need Jesus, how important this commandment is, but also how much we need Jesus. Because no one keeps this commandment like we ought to keep it. Even if we learn it early, even if we learn it well, everyone has sinned in this matter, has sinned, will sin, is maybe sinning right now. How many parents see it so soon in their children? When their children are still infants, we have all these new mothers and fathers lately, and I'm sure you are seeing it in your infants' lives as they are beginning to develop. Sometimes they fight you when it's time to feed them, or they fight you when it's time to put them to bed. And later when they become toddlers and they learn to talk, and their favorite word is no, and they have their own mind and their own will. And then when they start to grow up and parents give instructions and directions, how to keep your room, how to help with family chores, how to develop healthy routines, what not to do, what to do. Our text from Proverbs 23 is unmistakably clear, isn't it? Listen to your father. How often it can be that kids don't and won't. Isn't that true? Children and young people, I said at the beginning, this is not meant to pick on you, and it's not. It's simply the Word of God asking you, do you listen to your father? Every time he teaches you, every direction he gives you, do you listen to your mother? Is there any child or any young person that can say, all the time I listen? Right away I listen. With a happy heart I listen. None can. What about when everyone gets older and things change? Kids become adults and parents become aged. Things change. Yes, as adults we're not required anymore to obey our parents. No parents can legitimately call for that. As I said earlier, the first word of the commandment is honor. And that's still relevant. We still ought to respect our parents even when they are older, maybe especially when they are older. Somewhere in Deuteronomy, we read about rising. We should rise before the gray-headed. We should give high respect to them. We should give time to them. We should show care for them. We should still request counsel from them. We should consider what they have to say very carefully in view of their life experience, and because, most of all, God has made them our parents, and it pleases Him to govern us by them. Listen to your father who begot you. Do not despise your mother when she is old. We need this word today too, don't we? Because sometimes we forget. Sometimes we're just busy. Sometimes we're not interested. Sometimes we neglect or despise. Is that not possible? Above all, if we are not walking in the faith of our parents, if they were believers and they taught us and we don't follow, if we reject the spiritual training we have received, if we say no to the Lord, no to life according to the Word of God, how sad we make our parents. And some of you parents know about that all too well. How sad your kids make you. How grieved you are over their choices. Maybe some of you, as not just as kids, but even as adults, are doing it to your parents right now, living in a way that grieves them. The point is this: honor your father and mother, says the Lord. Who does? None do, not as we should. Let that humble us. Let that convict us. As I mentioned at the start, I'm praying for that. And let me tell you a story for a moment. This week I met a man who told me his conversion. And he told me how it happened. And it was by way of the fifth commandment. The Lord used that in his life to bring him low and to bring him to Christ. He was a young man, he said, early teens. And he found himself resisting his parents, resisting and resenting. They said, "Weed the garden." And he said, "In my heart, I said no. I don't want to, and I won't." And suddenly, and it must have been through the Spirit of God, could be no way else, he saw that for what it was. He saw that it was inexcusable rebellion. He saw that God had given him his parents. God had given him godly parents. God had blessed him so much to his parents. They had done so much for him in life. And yet here he was, unwilling to do what his parents were asking him to do. It was a reasonable request. Weed the garden. Help out around the home and the family. No, I don't want to. He was so humbled and so convicted and broken over it. He went to his mother and he said something like this: "I'm sorry, Mom. What I'm discovering is that I must not be Christian because I don't want to obey you. I have no heart to obey you. I must not be saved." And he was right. And his mother wisely sent him to his Bible and to prayer, said, "Tell the Lord, son, tell the Lord." So he did. And as he tells us the story, he says, he struggled for several weeks. He had no rest. He was so restless. Doesn't have to be that long in every case, but it wasn't his. And finally, he came to see that it was through trusting in Christ that he could be forgiven and changed and become saved. And so he was. He came to faith. He found salvation in Christ. He began to trust in him alone, and he began to change. Do we not all need that? Because whether or not we are first convicted by the fifth commandment, and it could be, or else other commandments, or maybe all the commandments, how often the Lord uses his law to humble sinners and to convict sinners so that we see our need and so that we become desperate, so that we learn to cry out to God for mercy and to trust in his Son. That's what must happen. We need Jesus. He's not just nice to have around. We can't do without him. We are lost if we don't trust him. Because think also of him and of his obedience. I mean Jesus now. How also on this commandment, in relation to this commandment, his obedience was flawless. And we have just little hints in the Gospels, but they help to fill out a picture of his relationship to his parents. Luke 2 telling us about Jesus as a 12-year-old. Some of you are 12 years old. And Jesus at 12 was subject to Joseph and Mary. That's what the text says, Luke 2. End of Luke 2. He was subject. By the way, isn't that something? He was sinless. They were sinful. Now, they were godly, but they were not perfect. They were weak. They were sinful. And Jesus subjected himself to them. Joseph wasn't even his biological father, but Jesus listened to him. He listened. Whatever it was, help your mom, Jesus. Take care of your siblings. Come to the shop. Let's visit a customer. I mean, we don't know the details, but he was subject. How amazing. And that was at 12. And then think when he was crucified, how he didn't neglect his mother. He didn't forget. He didn't despise her. But he showed care for her. He was in pain. He was suffering. He was dying. He was about to be forsaken by the Father in heaven. He was about to endure the greatest load of judgment ever to fall on anyone. How much that must have been in his mind and weighing down his heart, and yet he remembered still to care for his mom. "Woman," he said from the cross, "behold your son." John. "Son, behold your mother." So he entrusted his mother to the care of John. It was sheer obedience to this commandment, honoring his mother. Like we all should, always and in every way, Jesus did it. And for his people. And at the same time, as we know, where was he? He was on the cross dying. What for? Paying for sin, paying for rebellion. When sinners break also this commandment, sinners like you and me break the fifth commandment, the all-important fifth commandment. Jesus died for rebels. The wrath of God was poured out upon him for those who don't honor their parents, who don't listen to their father, who despise their mother too often when she is old. Jesus endured what we deserve for that. Sinners like you and me, he endured God's judgment. All which is to say we need him. We need his life. We need his death. We need to belong to Christ. When we turn to him and trust in him, then what he did, we get. His obedience covers us. His sacrifice counts for us. That's our salvation. That's all our salvation. In that way, God accepts us. God receives us through his beloved Son. You know, if we're not there yet, let us come now to him this afternoon. Come now to Christ. Come now to believe in him. And then with a new heart, and then with a clean heart and full of the Holy Spirit and wanting to show thankfulness to God, come also to the fifth commandment and carefully let's aim to obey. This now is our last point. Carefully let's aim to obey. Believers should. Carefully aim to obey every commandment, also this commandment, honor our father and our mother. What's that look like? Well, no doubt we could say all sorts of things. And I wondered how to help us here. And finally settled on just following the outline that the catechism gives us. Because it's really helpful. It's very challenging, in fact. But notice three categories or three ways of thinking this through. First of all, the catechism says we're to show all honor, love, and fidelity or faithfulness to our father and mother and all in authority over me. So all honor, love, and faithfulness. Those are comprehensive terms. So much is packed into those terms and ideas. All honor, love, and faithfulness. You know, that means ever respecting and appreciating our parents. Never cutting them down, not in private, not in public. Loving them, cherishing them, being devoted to them. Not forsaking them, being true to them. Let that be the overall spirit we reflect, and at every age, and at every stage. Aim for that. Remember, that's how the point's worded. Let's carefully aim to obey. All honor, love, and faithfulness. And not only with our parents, but all who are in authority over us. We should not miss that last part, though it's very tempting to overlook it. Not just our parents, but all those in authority over us. This is surely a stretch. If we think about those in authority over us, say in Toronto or in Ottawa, maybe all kinds of thoughts come to mind. But the Lord is clear. Even if we disagree with those in authority over us, even in view of the sermon this morning, if we see something of the spirit of the dragon at work in the beast, even if we believe that things that are being done, said, orchestrated are wrong, and we have a right to that opinion, and we may be thankful that we have a lawful way to express that opinion still. And yet at the same time, we may not forget this. All honor, love, and fidelity. That doesn't mean that we need to feel nice and warm and fuzzy about those in office. No, but it does mean we need to respect the office they hold. In acknowledgement of God putting them into that office, respecting them, caring for them, and never undermining them. I read this week about someone in a Reformed church, publicly calling one of our elected officials a bad name. And thereafter being admonished by the leadership of his church. And probably rightly so. We don't know the details. But how careful we need to be. How careful we need to be in our speech. Think of the Apostle Paul when one time he was on trial in Acts chapter 23, and we're told that he said something that the authorities didn't like, and one of the people in charge said, "Hit him." And so he was slapped. And Paul responded by saying, "God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. You sit to judge me, and you're judging contrary to the law." At which point someone immediately said to Paul, "Do you dare to speak like that to the high priest?" And Paul immediately repented, and he said, "I did not know he was a high priest, for it is written, 'You shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people.'" Like I said, all this is stretching for us. But it is the word of God, is it not? But now another point in the catechism, not only all honor, love, and fidelity, but secondly, in terms of aiming to obey, let's aim to submit ourselves to their good instruction and correction. And here, children and young people, this take this to heart with regard to your parents. Because this is how you please God. This is how you demonstrate your faith is true. This is how you show genuine thankfulness to God. When you submit yourselves to the good teaching and correction of your parents with due obedience. In other words, you ought to live in a way that you are totally open to their direction. That you respond to their instruction and correction. That you seek for a spirit that is altogether teachable. I know it's challenging because you're finding your way, especially as you get older, and you've got your own thoughts and your own ideas about how things should go, and you're aiming for independence. But even as you get there, even as you're on the way to there, it ought to be with this spirit of humility and teachability. Is this not a point to underscore also among us? Of course, it means that parents and others, we must be so diligent and faithful when it comes to good teaching and correction. We can't afford to be passive and uninvolved, not teaching or not correcting. That's not allowed. Nor is it right if we deal in anger and harshness. What's worse is if we lead our children astray or into sin. How terrible if we do that. That's contrary to what we promised, all of that. Contrary to what we promised when we brought our children to the baptismal font. Let's not forget our vows, fellow parents, to bring our children up in the fear of God, in the ways of God, with all the strength that we can, to the utmost of our power. Of course, on our knees. Parents have responsibilities, yes, but so also do children and young people. And we all know that it's not easy to grow up today. That's true. Maybe it's always been true. Today, the challenges, young people, we recognize they are very apparent. But understand this. It's way harder to grow up if you reject this commandment. It's way harder for you if you don't listen to good teaching and correction. And the Word of God would say to you, don't make it harder for yourself. Don't make it harder for your parents. Don't bring dishonor to the living God. But then notice the third thing mentioned in the catechism. It too is very important. Maybe you're saying, I'm listening to this sermon, but it's really so hard to do. Did you know how difficult my parents are? Do you understand how my teachers, hardly mention teachers, but let's talk about teachers, how impossible they are? Do you realize that the government we're under is so oppressive? How can I do any of what it's called for here? But notice in the last thing in the catechism that we also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities. That means of our parents and all who are in authority over us, patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Again, this point of God in the background is so important. If we don't recognize this, then we basically live as practical atheists. God has put the authorities in our life in their place, and God seeks to work in our life through them. But they are mere humans and sinful. And they also have weaknesses and infirmities. That means our parents aren't perfect. Not when our children are young, we're not perfect. Not when they're older, they're not perfect. We're not perfect. Parents, teachers, others. Hopefully, we're godly, but we're not perfect. But whether or not parents are godly, there will be weaknesses and there will be infirmities. That means they won't always see correctly. They won't always understand the needs of children and young people. They won't always act justly. They won't always make the best decisions. They won't always be patient and kind and gentle and loving. Let me speak on behalf of all parents and all authority. We're not always so great, are we? We're not always so great. I remember a phone conversation years ago with a woman who is a mother. Forget what the conversation was about, but after the conversation, she hung up the phone, or she thought she had hung up the phone. And before I had time to put down my end of it, I heard her tear into her kids for interrupting her while she was on the phone. While she had been speaking with me, she was very sweet and kind and nice. As soon as she put down the phone, she turned into another lady. At least that's how it seemed. She yelled and yelled and yelled. It was something. That was years ago. Since then, I have become a father and a teacher and a pastor. In other words, I've entered into various leadership positions. What I've learned about myself is that I too have weaknesses and infirmities. Not seeing everything clearly, not patient, always too easily upset, and yes, even angry. What parent, what person listening this afternoon doesn't know what that's like? And the point isn't to justify any of that or to excuse it, no. But when we are kids, or maybe with our elderly parents, or students with teachers, or employees with employer, and on, the call is to bear patiently with the weaknesses and infirmities that those in authority manifest. This may be the hardest part of keeping the fifth commandment, but it means that we seek to endure, that we bear with the faults of those over us. No, don't misunderstand, we're not talking about enduring abuse or things of that nature, or if the direction that's being set or commanded is clearly contrary to God's word. If it's serious like that, it has to be addressed, yes. And sometimes boundaries need to be set, that's true, and enforced, that's true. And sometimes other people need to be involved. And we're not talking about tolerating ongoing sin and evil, none of that. But say if mom is tired and can't do it all, give her a break. Or if dad is a little bit hard in his response, maybe he's got a lot of pressure at work. Or if your teacher isn't as clear as you'd like or as helpful as you'd want, assume they're still doing the best. Or if your boss overreacts or an elder misspeaks or an elected official disappoints, as much as we can, let's bear it. Remembering how much the Lord must bear with us and how much we have to bear with each other. Yes, let us listen, therefore, to our Father who begot us and not despise our mother when she is old. May our fathers be glad and our mothers rejoice. And all who are in authority over us, may they see by our life that we seek to keep this commandment too, and may it encourage those who fear the Lord, and may it win those who don't. And most of all, as we aim to live this way, think about how we will bring honor to our Heavenly Father. Yes, let's not forget that relationship. What's true of every believer. You know, we may or may not have earthly fathers, but we will never lose our Heavenly Father. And whereas earthly fathers may sometimes fail us and disappoint us, our Heavenly Father never does. He is perfect. You will not find a single weakness or infirmity in the care of your Heavenly Father. He does everything well, in perfect wisdom and in goodness. How great that is. How great that is. We go through life under His care. We may trust Him fully, and so let us serve Him faithfully, including to obey every one of His commandments, including also to honor our father and mother. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, help us not only to hear your word, but by your grace to commit to doing it, including also to honor our father and our mother, to listen to our father, and not to despise our mother, and to let them rejoice by the way that we live, above all, living by faith and repentance. Lord, use this word to convict us. Use this word to bring us to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his obedience. We thank you for his sacrifice. And use this word also to direct our whole life as we live in this world, so that by way of this commandment too, we may adorn our confession and we may give reason for others not to blaspheme the way of the Lord, but to be impressed and to say, there is something about you that I don't understand. What is it? At which point we can highlight the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has taught us, rebellious people as we are, to learn to submit to authority, and above all, to learn to submit to you. Lord, we need help. We need the Spirit of the living God. We pray that you will work in us all, and that you will so also lead us as we go from here into another week, where many challenges will come, many responsibilities must be fulfilled. Much wisdom is needed. Give us all that we need. Keep us all in your care. Forgive every sin and hear our prayer. For Jesus' sake.